Welcome to New World Notes, a series that explores the gap between the America we want and the America they're trying to make us settle for, and how we the people can reestablish our commonwealth and reclaim our democracy. Edited by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. And happy Christmas season to you, dear listeners. If you are in Connecticut hearing the show off the air, it's either 2 days before Christmas or 1 day after. I've done precious little to celebrate the birthday of a guy I'm appreciating more and more as time goes on, Jesus of Nazareth, a quirky and enigmatic philosopher like Socrates, a hippie, commie, troublemaker like the ones I admired when I was in college, like Allen Ginsberg, David Dellinger, Joan Baez, Dan and Phil Bergen. Folk singer Hugh Blumenfeld celebrates Jesus, as Blumenfeld knows him, in Blumenfeld's song, Long-Haired Radical Socialist Jew. As a general principle, I believe that anyone who is imprisoned or executed by forces of the state must have been saying something interesting. Socrates, Jesus, Thomas More, Joan of Arc, Sacco and Vanzetti, Ezra Pound, Nelson Mandela, Ken Sarawiwa, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Martha Stewart. Okay, there are exceptions. Today's installment features the late, great Molly Ivins, journalist, humorist, correspondent, essayist, civil libertarian, and card-carrying agitator. She was one of about 2,000 liberals in the state of Texas. She and 1,700 others were in Austin. There's about 200 over at Southern Methodist University. I forget exactly where that is. There's one poor slob in the English department of Texas A&M, about 50 liberals spread about the Hispanic neighborhoods of Houston and Corpus Christi, and 47, whereabouts unknown, presumably in hiding in the Texas Air National Guard, or both. You may recall the gracious and culturally sensitive way New World Notes marked Rosh Hashanah in September. We spent the program talking about atrocities and other war crimes ordered by Moshe Dayan and carried out by the Israel Defense Forces during the Six-Day War of 1967. Today I plan to offer the Christians the same tact, sensitivity, and cultural savoir-faire I offered the Jews 2 months ago. So we'll start with a Christmas song from 1959 in honor of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Then a fine and funny talk by Molly Ivins, focusing on Texas and hence not Jesus this time, but God the Father. God the Father, who, for reasons unknown, is always telling individual Texas Protestants to do something or other. Drive naked to Louisiana, invade Iraq, whatever. We'll follow that with a song about the guy, every bit as Christmassy as the first song. With luck, I'll have time to issue the disclaimer, then beat it out of the studio before the moral majority breaks down the station door and comes after me, pitchforks and torches in hand. So time's a-wastin'. Here's Tom Lehrer.
Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill the cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens, mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 306, a D, a 4. Relations, sparing no expense'll, send some useless old utensil, or a matching pen and pencil, just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the Yuletide pay. Angels we have heard on high, tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
Join me in welcoming this nation's foremost bushwhacker, Molly Ivins.
I want to tell y'all, I feel like Jason. It's so nice to be with a crowd where I don't have to explain the jokes. Oh, sorry about making the obvious point. One reason you should feel better right away is because you don't have to be in Texas. Our governor is a guy named Good Hair Perry. That man has a head of hair every Texan can be proud of, regardless of party. A couple of summers ago, Good Hair needed to appoint a new member of the Public Utilities Commission. As y'all remember here and know very well here in California, that can turn out to be a critical public body. So Good Hair selected for this purpose a former Enron executive. The next day, Goodhair got a $25,000 check from Ken Lay. Those with suspicious minds thought there might be a connection. Goodhair was forced to hold a press conference where he explained to everybody's total satisfaction that it was completely coincidental. Now, in Texas, we do not have a sunshine law. We have sort of a partly cloudy law. But even in Texas, if you get a major state appointment like that, you have to fill out a bunch of forms and you know, all your finances, and all this becomes part of the public record. So the Enron executive's forms showed up a couple of days later. Some minion from the governor's office brought them around to the press room where the alert guardian watchdogs of democracy were in action. And I started looking at the form, and somebody says, I don't know, you think 17 looks funny? Gee, I don't know, Sam, you think 17 looks funny? We all thought 17 looked funny. That was the question you have to answer about whether or not you've ever had any unfortunate involvement with law enforcement authorities. The governor's office had whited out the answers to question 17. This was a very sophisticated cover-up. We in the press corps are hard to fool. We were on the trail and discovered in no time flat that the citizen had had a couple of minor brushes with minor traffic violations. And also, while out hunting the year before, he had accidentally shot a whooping crane. And then he accidentally buried the whooping crane. I'm not making this up. And as a result, I had to pay a $15,000 fine under what in Texas is known as the Endangered Species Law. And we all thought that was damn stiff. And we put all this in the newspapers, and of course Texas is full of hunters. And their reaction was, well, hell, anybody could accidentally hit a whooper. But we stayed on the story, and the next day we were able to report that he hit the whooper while on a duck hunt. Now, we got a whole state full of hunters. Now, you know, the whooping crane is 5 feet tall. It's a very large bird. The duck. Now we got a whole state full of hunters saying, you know, if this sumbitch too dumb to steal a whooper from a duck, he shouldn't be running state utilities. Forced to resign. My friends, progress can be made in many different and wonderful ways. Now, the great excitement at home, of course, is we've just had some political indictments, and three of the top fundraisers for Tom DeLay were all indicted. But they were indicted for breaking Texas campaign finance laws. You have to understand the magnitude of that achievement. We don't have any campaign finance laws in Texas. I mean, you really have to work at it to get indicted for that. And so we're all real proud of him. And we think this case may eventually lead to other indictments. And among those prominently mentioned in the indictable category is the incumbent Speaker of the Texas House of Representatives, a fellow named Tom Craddock. Now, I don't have anything against Tom Craddock personally. I don't like his politics, but I don't wish him ill. However, I am rooting for his indictment just as a matter of Texas political tradition. Should Craddock be indicted, that would make 6 out of the last 7 House speakers indicted for one thing or another. Now, there was one in that 6, I have to admit, who kind of broke the string. He was not indicted. He was the one who was shot to death by his wife. She was indicted but not convicted. Because in Texas, we recognize public service when we see it. Bush was in the Midwest 2 months ago, and he had a private meeting with leaders of the Amish community there, and he told the Amish that God speaks through him. I myself thought the Lord knew how to pronounce nuclear, so I was a little surprised. But as I watched that first debate with John Kerry, it became clear to me that that was not God speaking. He's much more articulate. What we had was another case of a Lord impersonator. This happens all the time in Texas. People are always thinking that God told them to do something. And a couple of years ago, a bunch of people in Levelland said that God told them to take off their clothes, get in a GTO, and drive to Louisiana. Which they did. 17 naked people in a GTO. They got to Vinton, Louisiana, and ran into a tree. The Vinton cops said that seeing 17 naked people pile out of one car was really amazing. That was not God that told those people to do it. It's that fellow who runs around impersonating the Lord, and that's clearly who Bush has been listening to. What is happening is that the pressure of conformity is lying heavier and heavier. Now, this always happens when there's a war on. We always get a certain amount of patriotic bullying. The people who support the war, you get that kind of Merle Haggard, Okie from Muskogee mentality. And they think that we're all godless communists. During World War I, people like that went around kicking dachshunds on the grounds that they were German dogs. I'll tell y'all something about people like that. They don't kick German shepherds. I always love the one where liberals propose that they go out and educate voters who don't agree with them. You know, many of those people actually consider themselves well-educated. Maybe what we need to think about is trying to convince them or persuade them. Now, I do believe that there is a bumper sticker worth mentioning this year. If you are not completely appalled, you haven't been paying attention. Your governor, the man who, to use Clive James' line, looks like a condom stuffed with walnuts. Your governor is, of course, evidence of Republican presence in the state. So I don't feel there's any shortage of people for you all to go out and be evangelical toward. I mean, it's not that every, just step across the city line of Berkeley and there you are. And, of course, every day in dozens, even hundreds of ways, our lives are touched by the decisions made by people with political power. And their masters, those with money. I think that the system is deeply corrupted by money. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that. I'm not going to just sit around and say, oh, we live in a democracy. Isn't it wonderful?
No, it's deeply corrupt. But being optimistic to the point of idiocy, I think that can actually be changed. I think public campaign financing is the best way to do that. And, of course, you will run across people who will tell you, well, you know, no matter what you do, the money is going to find a way to get around whatever system you have. Well, yeah, it probably will. And then we'll just have to fix it again, won't we? I'm a great believer in perpetual reform. It's true we couldn't stop the war. What I wanted to preach to you a little bit about is what I think is a real problem for the left in this country. And I am just as serious as a stroke about this. You people need to work harder at having fun. You do not have enough fun. You are fun challenged. And the reason you got to have fun is because, as that great philosopher Jimmy Buffett says, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. The reason you have to look for ways to make politics fun is not only that it's your life, but also because it's a better way to live, it's better for your health, and it will keep you from becoming disgusted, cynical, bitter, and burned out. There is no use at all in thinking, well, we'll have fun after we win. Wrong approach. As a Texas liberal, I would like to explain to y'all. Not a good plan. Now, in Texas, where we are pretty darn good at this, we like to think, I think the key ingredients, I've thought about this a fair amount, are imagination and beer. Recommend it. Or whatever California variant you might prefer. That is a story I know I've told before, but I think I've got a new audience, mostly new audience. Isn't that wonderful? John Henry Falk always said, you don't need new stories, you just need a new audience. Was a few years back, the Texas legislature took a fit of communism and decided to make Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday a state holiday. Now, don't worry, it was a package deal. We kept Confederate Heroes Day.
Ivins is saying that steady political work by citizens will indeed improve society and people's individual lives. And for her, political includes a lot more than just votes and elections. She acknowledges that the system is corrupt from sea to shining sea. But in Texas, everything is oversized, and the corruption is more splendid, bolder, more audacious, more in-your-face public. A certain blue-blooded Connecticut party boy preppy and certified Yale cheerleader with a booze problem, I won't mention his name out of respect for his long-suffering wife, Laura. Anyway, this anonymous nutmegger decides to become a fake Texan. He buys a modest country estate, trucks in a couple head of cattle, which somebody else has to milk each day, and calls it a ranch. He buys the big hat, buys a couple Ralph Lauren flannel shirts, buys the pointy boots, tells folks that the skull and bones on his ring is the name of the best little steakhouse in Dallas. And voila! Instant Texan. To make a long story short, in the year 2000, the Supreme Court overthrows the federal and Florida state constitutions, stages a coup d'etat, and installs the Connecticut cowboy as Führer. As a courtesy to his good friends at AIPAC, the cowboy adopts the old-fashioned title, President. He brings the Texas style to the office. Theft, torture, illegal wars, war crimes, CIA and FBI skullduggery at home, militarism, slaughter of innocents, false flag operations, crackpot economics, illegal wiretapping. If you've been listening to the show for a few months, you realize that the fake Texan didn't actually do anything that his predecessors hadn't done before. He just does everything twice as loudly, 10 times as grandly and at 200 times the expense. The Bay of Pigs invasion of 1961. The Iraq invasion of 2003. In essence, the same thing, right? Poorly planned, doomed to failure, embarrassing to the U.S. But the New Englander who gave the go-ahead to the CIA's Bay of Pigs invasion caused the death of very few or no Americans and few Cubans, and scarcely made a dent in the nation of Cuba. 40 years later, the New Englander who wanted to play Texas rancher pushed hard for the invasion of Iraq, caused the deaths of more than 4,000 U.S. soldiers and 1 million Iraqis, destroyed most of the infrastructure of Iraq, especially its capital, touched off and encouraged a large wave of ethnic cleansing, squandered or stole billions of dollars in development funds, drove the United States into bankruptcy, destabilized the entire region, and made the United States the most distrusted and hated country in the world. So sure, Eisenhower did something similar in Honduras. Kennedy did something similar in Cuba. Clinton did something similar in Somalia. But Cowboy W. Bush did it all Texas style. And as I said a while back, one other characteristic of Texas is it's full of Lord impersonators, Molly called them. People thinking they're hearing the voice of God Almighty telling them to do something insane or criminal. They always fall for it, but it's not really God that's telling them to do it. It's one of those darn Lord impersonators like the one that talks to Bush. Since we've given the impersonators so much time, how about a few minutes to the original? The Lord God himself, as interpreted by America's foremost Protestant theologian, Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell's God was standing by the elevator while we were talking about the party, so we had to invite him. Secretly, we were all wishing that he wouldn't come because he's vengeful and jealous and he tends to smite people. And of course, he knew we were thinking that. So it made him all the more determined to show up and punish us. And I wanted to invite my God, but I couldn't find him. But Jerry Falwell's God is hard to miss. Gossamer robe and the beard down to here and the button that says, "What would Jesus do?" And sure enough, you know, day of the party, there he was at the door. And he spoke, spaketh he, saying, "I am come." And I knew there was a joke there. But Jerry Falwell's God will not be mocked. So I said, "Come in." Jerry Falwell's God. Jerry Falwell's God. Now, I'm no heavenly host, but I throw a decent party. And there were people of all kinds there. Black, white, Swedish, Norwegian, the whole human spectrum. And right away, Jerry Falwell's God found the two people who would listen to him and began spaking in a voice so loud it made the Beastie Boys sound like the Vienna Boys Choir. And he made the lame to walk. And these were my friends, so they were still lame, but they could walk. And he turned the loaves to fishes and the Oreos to Hydrox. Subtle, I thought. And he divided up the room, divided he, saying, "Gays here, lesbians here, pagans here, abortionists, feminists, civil libertarians, people for the American way," and frankly, some of us did not know where to stand. I went with the lesbians. Jerry Falwell's God. Jerry Falwell's God. And he pointed his huge finger at each group in turn, saying, I blame you and you and you who have secularized society and cast me out of the town square. And I thought, man, you are the town square. He said, lo, I have lifted the veil of protection, for the end days are here and the judgment is nigh, where I will draw the faithful to heaven and leave the unrepentant to walk a desolate earth. And I thought, more polyester for the rest of us. And he spat fire, and he rained toads, and he brought forth seven plagues of seven bowls. And finally I just said, look, I'll tell you one thing Jesus would not do. Jesus would not wreck a guy's party. And Jesus would not preach hate. And Jesus would not stand in the rubble and say, I told you so. And Jesus would not use an international catastrophe to score points for some misogynistic, narrow, homophobic, anti-Semitic interpretation of his life and teaching. And if people are jealous and judgmental and vengeful and violent, maybe it's because you made them in your image. And if people have cast you out of the town square, maybe it's because you are a finger-pointing, moralizing, rageaholic stone drag who gives deities a bad name. And if people have turned away from your word, maybe it's because you have spinach in your teeth. And you smote me.
Jerry Falwell's gone. Jerry Falwell's gone.
Benediction time. Thanks for listening. New World Notes is produced at the spacious underground studios of WWUHFM, a community service of the University of Hartford. Many thanks to Scooter, host of the Inner Side program over at KPFT in Houston. Another Texas liberal agitator, I'm afraid. Thanks to Scooter for Molly Ivins' recording and for the little ditty you'll hear at the end. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the presenter, the station management staff, or the licensee, and their expression is protected by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Send your comments, suggestions, and requests to get the free newsletter to KDOWST, that's KDOWST, at hotmail.com. This show can be heard off the air, streaming over the internet by podcast, and by free MP3 download. To find out how, go to wwuh.org and look up the description of this show. All shall be revealed. That's wwuh.org. Until next time, here's wishing you a good week. Illegitimi non carborundum. Smile when you say that, Podna, and keep the faith.
Just pull your hat down the way I do, and buy your pants just a little longer. And next time somebody laughs at you, you just
that's
tell
right.
them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas, don't you get it? That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas, don't you get it? That's right, you're not from Texas.
Hey, Dad, can you buy me a dinosaur just like Jesus used to have? I learned all about it in my biology class. Yabba dabba doo.
That's right.
Can I get into Stanford? How about Cornell? God bless Texas.